SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 136. Today's date, March 31st. Let's get right into our tip-off topics with a recap of the Elite Eight, going in chronological order, leading off with Florida's 84-79 win over Texas Tech. This was a barn-burning game. Texas Tech kind of took the lead midway second half, kind of opened the game up a little bit, up by about 10 or so points. And then Texas Tech did the exact opposite that happened on Thursday night when it came back versus Arkansas. They started taking bad shots, questionable decisions, and Walter Clayton Jr. got hotter than fish grease. The plays he made down the stretch was absolutely fantastic. And you got to look at a Walter Clayton Jr. as arguably one of the top players in college basketball with his performance, not only during this game, I was also to look there at Elijah Martin, the transfer from FAU, what he did. But here's Walter Clayton Jr., who was absolutely scintillating in his performance on Saturday night. But you have to look at the big guy, Hawk. He was kind of hot for the three-point line. He's played really, really well, particularly with the fact that Condon got hurt on Thursday night with the ankle. We don't know how, you know, he didn't play a ton of minutes on Saturday night. But Florida's a team that's intriguing. They can beat you so many different ways, inside, outside. Right? Slow, fast, high scoring, low scoring, in front, behind. Congratulations to Todd Golden and the Florida Gators for making the Final Four. Another coach under the age of 40 to the Final Four. This one was kind of expected all year, and that's John Shire. Duke with an absolute beatdown of Alabama, 85-65, easily covering the spread, which I do believe was 6.5, 7.5, if I'm not mistaken. It really didn't matter as Duke dominated the game from both sides of the ball, and it was a fantastic performance by the entire trio. Now, Cooper Flagg didn't score as much as he needed to, but he was able to distribute, facilitate, obviously block some shots. Colin Knipple obviously got hot, hit some shots for them. And it's one of those things with Duke is, and Maluak Raj right there, the one of the rim protectors, they just have dudes, man. And it's amazing to watch a team with three freshmen. You just saw the pictures of them, right? Of Cooper, of Knipple, of Maluak, and just see what they were able to do. It's amazing, but it wasn't. I'm not surprised Duke won. I'm not surprised Alabama shot cold from three, especially with the fact that they went 25 for 51 in their win in the Sweet 16. I was just more surprised that Duke won by 20. Like, this game wasn't really a contest at all, to be honest with you, folks. And Duke has looked really impressive, and it's why they are a minus money favorite to go ahead and cut down the nets in San Antonio. Their opponent, the team I think they could take him out, and that's Houston. With a 69-50 win over Tennessee, this was a game that Ben Stevens and I were on air. I'm going to say this now. 69-50, and it wasn't even that close. Okay? Here's why. Number one, Tennessee had 15 points at the half. Zakai Ziegler was put in jail. Now, obviously, Ganey got hot for Tennessee, particularly in the second half, and the referees started calling ticky-tack fouls on Houston, which got, you know, Tennessee within 10, but they couldn't get closer than 10. You know why? Emmanuel Sharpe got hot. Emmanuel Sharpe, that I've said to people for months, that he could be the key to this Houston team. He had the ankle injury, and he hit not one, not two, but three daggers. And I'm talking, each dagger was deeper than the other one. And it was funny because when I was on with Ben, I used to say this term, when you shoot a three up, I'd say, you better make that. And I would put a word after that that I can't say on air because I'll get in trouble. And he hit all three of them. And then to close the game, obviously you had LJ Cryer. So when you look at this team, They play phenomenal defense. Obviously, Tennessee's team total was under 61.5. They held them to 50. And it will set up an intriguing matchup. What we will do is we'll talk about the matchups at the Final Four on the next podcast Wednesday to be released on Thursday. But one more team punched their ticket to San Antonio, and that's the Auburn Tiger, with a 70-64 win over Michigan State, covering barely as a 4.5, 5.5 point spread, depending on when you put your ticket in. And what can you say about Jahni Broome? 26 points, 14 rebounds. Fantastic. And the two times that Auburn struggled a little bit, first half when they were up 23-8, he went to the bench. And then when he got hurt with the ankle and he was out for about 3 or 4 minutes, it was the only two times you thought that they were in danger. They did a great job. And they're playing at the level that we saw them with early in the year, which sets up a fantastic Final Four that, once again, we will preview on Wednesday's podcast, recorded to be released on Thursday, in which Florida-Auburn will be the first game, followed by Houston and Duke. I think that's going to be a phenomenal Final Four. And I know people are like, oh, the upsets. Oh, we didn't have them. Oh, the no. Folks, you had three teams in the last 20 years with a KenPom rating of a net rating of 35 or higher. You have four of them in this Final Four, with Duke with the highest KenPom rating, net rating of all time. This is going to be fantastic basketball, and it's going to be absolute cinema. Speaking of cinema, thank God we're done with this Kevin Willard stuff. You know, and people, obviously people know that I know some people over there at Villanova. Kevin Willard has officially been hired as of yesterday as their head men's basketball coach. This is not about Kevin Willard, the basketball coach. Granted, he's only been to one Sweet 16 in 18 years. But he did a great job at Seton Hall for 12 years. And John Fanta pointed this out. I remember this when they beat Villanova in 2016 in the Big East Championship with Isaiah Whitehead. And then that sprung that Villanova run of two championships in 3 years. Kevin Willard's a hell of a coach. I got to take off my glasses of him being a coach, and I got to talk about him as a person. The way that he conducted himself the last week was an absolute embarrassment. And I've heard people on this network sit here and say, well, he did the same thing that Will Wade did. No, he didn't. Will Wade was, if anything, Will Wade was honest. He was up front. He told his players what was going on. He told the media, yeah, I interviewed at NC State. I'm a candidate. And he took the job. And for me, it was no distraction. They played well in the tournament. I know they got blown by Purdue, but they won their first game. This was a distraction. And the way that he conducted himself by basically announcing that the AD was going to SMU, right, to complaining about the NIL money, right, wanting more piece of the pie, how the revenue stream is done at Maryland, and then to turn around and people ask him questions at the press conference about this. And then he turned around and he's talking about Walter Clayton Jr. Kevin Willard's a hell of a coach. There's no mistaking it. Sussman's going to kill me. I think he's going to do a good job at Villanova. The Villanova people are very happy with him. And they think that he's going to do a great job. He's a Northeast guy. He loved Seton Hall. He's back in the Big East. But the biggest thing is, football is not king at Nova. Basketball is, and he's going to benefit greatly with the NIL. Coming up next, we'll have our awards tour. We'll look at some odds for the tournament, including most outstanding player. We'll see if we can find ourselves some value, and we'll get some other picks regarding the tournament when we come back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 136. And it's time to get into our award tour where we look at future markets. We're going to focus on one thing here, and that is the most outstanding player odds. When we get to Wednesday, I'll kind of go through some stuff in regards to who wins the national championship, if maybe to pick who wins both games, kind of go through there. But today I want to focus on this because this is an intriguing market, because you can find value one way or the other depending on who you like to win the national championship. So let's pull up the board here so we can take a look at the odds right now. Odds right now, Cooper Flagg is the prohibitive favorite, which makes a ton of sense. That is at minus 165. You have Walter Clayton Jr. at 5-1. You have Jahni Broome at 7-1. You have LJ Cryer at 8-1. 16-1 for Miloš Uzan. Tahad Pettiford is at 24-1. Emmanuel Sharp, 50-1. Elijah Martin, 70-1. 100-1 for Juwan Roberts. And 210-1 for Con Knipl. So when you start looking at this, right, here's the thing. And I just want to let people know, this is as when Matt recorded, put these up and did these lessons this morning. I want you to pull this back up, Matt, because there's been odds movement, major movement in the last couple of hours. Right now, Cooper Flagg is plus 120. Walter Clayton Jr. is at plus 380. Jahni Broome is at 8.5. 10-1 for Cryer, 16-1 for Uzan, 20-1 for Pettiford, 23-1 from Sharp, major movement overnight. Martin, 24-1. Roberts, 27-1. 30-1 for Knipl. Okay, I don't want to go any deeper than that. So that compares to right now the Final Four odds, okay, which have the national championship odds, have Duke at 100-1. I'm sorry, 1-1, even money. So let's start with there. 1-1 for Duke, plus 120 for Cooper Flagg. It's not worth the 20 cents, right? It's not. Especially the fact that even though I don't think anyone else in Duke can get it, Con Knipl is capable of going off. And if you're any team, you're going to try and load up on Cooper. So if you're thinking about Cooper Flagg at a plus 120, I just say take Duke at even odds. Next, you go to Walter Clayton Jr. Florida right now is at plus 290 at record time, okay, this afternoon, according to FanDuel, and he's at plus 380 to win most outstanding player. See, this is where you got to look at the markets here. So right then and there, you go and you take, obviously, Florida to be the national champion, right? Could there be could it be someone else? Could it be Elijah Martin? Maybe. I need more than a dollar. Okay? The one you should be looking at is Jahni Broome, if you want Auburn. I don't think it's going to be Pettiford. You just saw what happened in a game against Michigan State. When he came out of the game with the injury or get a rest, they weren't the same team. So the fact that he's plus 490, right? He's plus 490, but he's 8.5-1 to win most outstanding player. If you're thinking Auburn, then you go to Broome. If that makes sense, right? Because of the fact of, I don't see Pettiford or anyone else having that kind of impact to win most outstanding player, and they obviously lose. And we win. Also, if you have a Zach Edey moment where the winning player could be from a losing team, which I do believe happened last year, then you take Jahni Broome. Because if there's someone that's going to go off for them, it's Jahni, right? So then it gets to Houston. Houston right now is at plus 420 to win the national championship. And at record time, Cryer's 10-1, Uzon is 16-1, Sharp 23-1, Roberts 27-1. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Here's how it played us. If you think they're going to win a national championship, just take the odds. Take the odds for them to win the national championship at plus 420, in which they have jumped Auburn. Think about this. They've jumped Auburn. So that to me says, and the fact that only, you know, that means if Florida plays Houston, that, or if Florida plays, I'm sorry, if Florida plays Houston, it's going to be close, the line. If Auburn plays Houston, Houston may be favored. And coming into the tournament, they had the worst odds out of all the teams going to win a national championship. So I would take Houston, but I would take a sprinkle. If there's one of these guys that I think can get it, I think it's Sharp. He has a propensity to knock down big shot after big shot. And he showed that in his three daggers that he hit against Tennessee. He's not scared of the moment. And if your teams, you're trying to contend with Uzon because of his ability to create off the bounce, and Cryer's the most dynamic scorer. But the most dangerous one is the one that can knock down the threes. And that's Emmanuel Sharp. Sprinkle Emmanuel Sharp to be most outstanding player. Coming up next after the commercial break, we'll get into the scouting report. Don't worry, we talk NBA. We'll preview Warriors versus Grizzlies. Talk a little bit about Grizzlies firing Taylor Jenkins again. The Wolves versus the Nuggets. We'll see who's suspended after that fight. Knicks versus the Cavs. Could Knicks finally beat someone good? And then Detroit versus the Thunder. We'll be back with our scouting report after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 136. And it's time to get into our scouting report as we preview today the biggest games in the NBA. I figured we would do this because I'm not talking NIT or CBI or the Crown. I'm not doing any of that. So this is a good time for us to get a little bit of talk on the NBA. And then obviously we'll get back to the college basketball in its entirety, previewing the Final Four. And we'll do it actually for the men and the women. Just make sure you check out that podcast. That'll be released on Thursday. But first matchup, Tuesday, Warriors at the Grizzlies. And if you look at these teams as they are matched up here, 43-31 for the Warriors, 44-30 for a Minnesota team dropping. Golden State, folks, is now up to the sixth seed. Okay, so this game could have playoff implications, especially with the fact that looking at the Western Conference, Minnesota's in seventh, along with the Clippers in eighth at 32 wins, 32 losses. Y'all remember when I told you all the Clippers weren't making the playoffs 2 weeks ago? Just saying. So when you look at this matchup here, you have the Golden State Warriors that's won two in a row, seven out of the last 10, versus a Memphis team that's just struggling, right? 4-6 to the last 10. They fired Taylor Jenkins. I'll get to that in a minute. All right, and they're a buzzer beater. But to me, you know, you got to go with the team that's playing better. And that's Golden State. The way Jimmy Butler has revitalized that team, look at what they're doing. Look what Miami's doing. I mean, simply put, I mean, the Miami Heat, you know, thank God they won four in a row because before they lost six straight. Oh, no, they lost nine straight. So to me, I'm taking Golden State in this matchup. I'll get the points. It should not be a money line situation. It should not be favored because it is in Memphis. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the points with the Warriors. Next up, Timberwolves, Nuggets. Now, when you look at this matchup, Denver is right now two games behind Houston. Houston's got a big game tonight, Monday night, versus the Lakers, second leg of a back-to-back. And Minnesota's in that seventh spot. They want to get out of seven. All right. And if you look at this Minnesota team, they've been up, they've been down, right? You know, if you look at them, they've won their last two, 7 out of the last 10, as they start to creep their way up in the standings. And of course, they obviously beat down the Pistons. Now, here's what you got to watch out for. There was a fight. Bunch of guys got suspended, may get suspended. Naz Reid, maybe suspended. DiVincenzo, maybe suspended. So wait for those lines. I'm going to try and drop a scouting report Tuesday afternoon because I want to wait for suspensions and the line to move to see what happens. But I expect suspensions in this matchup. Next up, Knicks-Cavs. The Cavs have kind of cooled off a little bit. Five and five in the last 10. Knicks are winners of three in a row. I think this is a big spot for New York. I know Jalen Brunson will be back for the last 4 to 5 games of the season, but I think it's important for them to try and get this game and keep it close because of the fact they've been blown out. Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby have been fantastic, 20 points each game since Brunson's been out. Cats falling off a little bit, but the other two have picked them up. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Knicks plus the points. I think this needs a statement game. I'm not saying they win, but I think they got to play better. Last matchup, Detroit, OKC, because of the fight with Isaac Stewart, who I just can't stand the shenanigans he does. You look at the fact of Holland, the rookie, and others. There could be guys that could be suspended here, so I'm going to wait as well for this matchup to be played on Wednesday. Look for that scouting report. Now to my buzzer beater. Taylor Jenkins was let go over the weekend, I think Friday. And it is something that's really bothered me because of the timing. I don't understand why you fire a guy with less than 10 games left to go in the season. I know that they're stumbling, right? But you're not winning the West. You're not beating OKC. You're not beating Denver. Man, you may not beat the Lakers. You may not beat Golden State. You may not beat Minnesota. So why are you upsetting the apple cart by firing it now? Somebody's in trouble. Someone wants to get traded. I wonder who it is. This has been your Betting About the Rim podcast for March 31st. For all things sports gambling, download the SportsGrid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. We'll preview the final four on our next Betting Above the Rim podcast coming out Thursday. Until then,